I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Hello and welcome to Eureka. Every week we invite a new expert to help us answer one of science's most interesting questions. We don't have a tagline. We still don't have a tagline.
Well, we have a suggestion. So one of our listeners, Ben Garrett, yes, offered on Twitter, the show that puts science through its paces and gives it a good old stretch.
It's a bit too long.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it. Puts science through its paces and gives it a good old stretch. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah.
What about, here's one from me. Eureka, Einstein's favourite podcast. I mean, it's short. It kind of tells you it's about science. And obviously, you know, it would have been his favourite podcast had he lived to the age of podcasting.
I don't think taglines are your forte.
No?
No.
I think he would have liked this show, though. I think we're a bit too laddish sometimes.
There was that show where you talked
about stroking off the atom.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think you can really characterize Einstein as laddish. I mean, he was horrible.
Well, you say that, but
he was horrible.
Well, I don't think he was horrible. I think he was. I mean, he was not.
Well, we talked about this in the World Cup of Scientists.
He's not the greatest. So I read this week something I'd never heard before, but I was googling something about Marie Curie, and you know how she had that affair with Paul Langevin, and it got in all the press, and she got loads of shit for it.
Yeah,
and Einstein weighed in on that apparently. And what he said was that because it was Paul Langevin's sort of estranged wife who had leaked the story to the press, he said he didn't think that she should be so worried about Marie Curie because although she was really bright, she wasn't much of a looker.
I mean,
it's not great, is it?
It's not great. You can't criticise Einstein's contribution, but I think you can criticise the way he lived his life.
Well, it was a bit like that thing with Emmy Noether, where when she died, and she'd been the woman who like helped him with this stuff. So he like said, "Can you get Miss Noether to come and help me with this? Because I don't understand the maths here."
Yeah.
And then when she died, he wrote in the New York Times like she was probably the best female mathematician of the age. No, she was probably the best mathematician of the age, Albert. Yeah. You know, the fact that she was a woman had nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, misogyny, I suppose, was a lot more rife then, but still.
Still.
Come on, Albert.
He would have liked the podcast.
Yeah, we're not...
To our shame, actually, yes, now I've said that.
Yeah, I mean, would you refuse a positive quote from Albert Einstein? Probably not, actually.
Probably not. We'll take that.
I'm Rick Edwards.
And I'm Dr. Michael Brooks. So, do you remember... In COVID, we're all working from home. We all discover Zoom. We're doing stuff.
I'd literally never
Teams.
Heard of Zoom before that.
No, I don't think I had at all. And now it's like it's a verb now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know who really fucked up? Whoever was marketing Skype.
I know.
What the how has that happened? Like, genuinely, I don't know how that's happened.
I mean,
like,
it's owned by Microsoft now, isn't it? But they've got Teams, so they, I think they own Skype, but they just like, they just put it in a corner.
But like, if you think of video calling pre-pandemic, it was only Skype.
Yeah, we are going to Skype.
Like that's you said, yeah, we're going to Skype. Like, I know, I didn't know any other option. And then you get to the pandemic, everyone's got to video call. Fuck it, where the fuck Zoom come from? What are you playing at, Skype?
I mean, fair play to Zoom.
Yeah, absolutely. But Skype that is one of the biggest ball drops of all time.
And it's changed everything now. So I've already done one Zoom today. I did about five yesterday. It's just the normal thing.
I hate it. Yeah, I really do. People
don't want to talk on the phone anymore. I always say, if I'm going to interview somebody, you know, shall we talk on the phone or do you want to Zoom? And they always want to Zoom, and I'm amazed.
I'm really surprised by that. I'll take a normal phone call.
I am talking to scientists. Or,
yeah.
They don't get out that often.
Yeah, so. I guess. But no, it drives me out the wall, actually.
Did you do lots of stuff during the pandemic that sort of made you, that put you off Zoom, or did you just always hate it? Did you do like family quizzes?
No, did do a few quizzes, some of which were all right, some of which were agonizingly bad. did a bit of sort of work as well on Zoom that I really didn't enjoy. It wasn't a good time, was it?
No.
For anyone.
No.
But that side of it and the legacy of it, as you rightly point out, is that now everyone wants to fucking Zoom the whole time.
Yeah.
And that is like the bane in my life.
Yeah. I mean, we talked, didn't we, about whether we would do the podcast by Zoom, and we were like, no, we won't.
Definitely not.
Yeah, we'll just put it on hold until we can come into a studio.
Well, put it this way, actually, we do for the breakfast show, we do a Zoom at 6 o'clock every evening to talk about what's going to be in the show the next day. Everyone has their video on except me. I just do it as a phone call.
You do not.
Don't have the camera on. haven't had the camera on since like the very start. So for the last year, I just don't put it on.
What do they say about that?
Well, initially they were like, "Oh, you're going to put your camera on?" I was like, "No." and now everyone's just used to it. Now no one expects me to put it on. But I've really had to sort of dig my heels in. So I do it like a phone call.
All right. So this actually worries me about this episode that we're recording right now, because I think you're going to hate everything to do with it. Mm-hmm. And my problem is that I also feel like I might hate everything to do with it as well. So we're going to have to try and be positive, because what we're going to talk about is basically going into the metaverse, going into a virtual augmented reality where we inhabit our online lives properly. And just like, you know, basically sack off the physical world and have a great time online with our avatars in virtual reality, with our headsets, maybe even touching, seeing, feeling, smelling stuff, buying stuff.
I'm not going to suddenly get a hard on for haptics, if that's what you're thinking.
You're not?
No.
Okay. Well, basically...
Well, I'm not looking forward to this.
What we're asking this week is the metaverse going to be shit?
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Special thanks to our expert, Rick Edwards.
The tech industry loves a buzzword, and right now everyone is talking about the metaverse.
I have some hot takes on this whole metaverse thing.
What actually is the metaverse?
Researchers predict that the global metaverse market could be worth about $680 billion in just a few years by 2030.
But slowly but surely, I think the things you can do in the metaverse and the amount of time you spend in virtual reality in the metaverse will slowly increase to the point where we really become an immersive world.
The metaverse began life as a concept in science fiction. But how far are we from it becoming a reality?
It is time for us to adopt a new company brand to encompass everything that we do, to reflect who we are and what we hope to build. I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta.
Many of us now work online, bank online, shop online, almost all of us socialize online, but how connected do we really feel?
Today, we're going to talk about the metaverse, starting with the most important experience of all, connecting with people.
The pandemic accentuated our reliance on the online world as we turned to sites like Zoom to see our friends and family. The fact is, increasing technology is creeping deeper and deeper into our lives, and people are often accused of living vicariously through their smartphones. Perhaps moving our lives entirely online is just the next logical step. That's why this week we're asking, is the metaverse going to be shit?
So luckily, we're joined by somebody who isn't an arch cynic for everything online. We've got our expert. It's Victoria Baines, who is a professor of information technology at Gresham College. This year, she's lecturing on humanizing cyberspace. So she's exploring all of this interesting, exciting, slightly scary stuff that's happening in the tech world. And we'll post a link to her lecture on the She did a lecture on the metaverse for Gresham College. Mm-hmm. We'll post a link to that on Twitter. It's definitely worth a watch. She's really interesting. So she mentioned during our conversation that she did like classics at university. Mm-hmm. And then I listened
That's
to her.
That's a hell of a pivot.
Yeah, so I listened to her on a podcast and she was saying, well, I'd done that. And then I thought, no, I don't know what to do with that. And then she saw a job advert in the newspaper for like police, like intelligence analyst or something for the Met Police or some police force. And she said, oh, I think I'll apply for that. I just did that like massive pivot. Yeah, it was brilliant.
So what did you ask her first?
So first of all, I asked Victoria to tell us what exactly is the metaverse.
The trouble with the metaverse is that it can be really difficult to see behind all the hype that we're getting right now. So it's actually really difficult to come to a single definition of the metaverse. It very much depends on who you are and what tech you're developing as to what you think the metaverse is. Now we can go right back to basics, and just completely coincidentally, I studied Latin and Greek at university. What you'll hear lots of tech bros at the moment saying that the metaverse is all about the big beyond of, you know, what we don't yet have now, what we'll have in 5-10 years time. It's an economy that's going to be worth billions and billions. For me, the metaverse is all about communities. And the reason I mention Latin and Greek is that meta doesn't just mean beyond, it means with or among. It's all about having those online experiences together. So when we're thinking about the time horizon, it can be quite difficult because it relies on there being lots of different technologies all coming together at once. So us having the financial infrastructure with digital currencies, us having immersive technologies like virtual reality, VR, augmented reality, AR, that allow us to feel like we're physically present in an online environment. Haptic technology that allows us to feel sensation and touch, like we're actually shaking hands with people or like we're actually thumping somebody in an online space.
Thumping somebody in an online space. That sounds like you might enjoy being there.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
You'd rather do it in real life?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, actually, I'd rather just not thump anyone virtually or in reality. I find it really hard to get excited about any of it. Right. And a lot of the stuff she's talking about feels like we've got already. So this is just about them all coalescing together at the same time, is it? In a way.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of technology. So the whole point of everyone getting excited about the metaverse is this sense.
Not everyone.
Everyone but us do. Yeah. It's like, so Zuckerberg changes Facebook's name to Meta, right? So the company is now called Meta. Yeah. And unlike you, he's got a proper boner for this stuff. And what he says is that, you know, we've got augmented reality. So you can, you know, basically superimpose information onto reality if you're wearing like a pair of special glasses.
Oh yeah, Google Glass. I mean, everyone's wearing Google Glass now, aren't they? I mean, what a fucking flop that was.
Yeah, I mean, they abandoned that, didn't they? Basically, we'll get onto the whole sort of, you know, tech stepping backwards thing. Mm-hmm. But so the idea is there is technology. You know, you've got these virtual reality headsets that you can now use.
Yeah.
You've got sort of the beginnings of haptics where you can kind of sense things. You know, we've even got the possibility that, you know, you start to sort of inject feelings into people's brains. We talked about that in our episode on electricity. Mm-hmm. So you've got, you know, obviously you've got the blockchain. So you've got a kind of online currency that works well, and you've got people starting to inhabit these environments like Roblox, which sort of feels a slightly like Minecraft, but for like grown-ups.
Yeah.
But that sort of sense of, you know, here's a universe you can create and live in and do stuff in. And
sort of glorified Sims.
Yeah, and Second Life. Do you remember when everyone got excited about that?
I mean, the thing is, you kind of, you know that this stuff is happening when brands are getting involved, I think. Like, not tech brands, but just general brands. So, like, you can buy a pair of virtual sneakers from Nike.
Yeah.
And that...
And so your avatar wears them.
Your avatar wears them. And so, you know, they have the cachet of wearing a nice pair of kicks and all that kind of stuff. And I guess, I don't know, but I guess that some people are buying that stuff.
It's not you, though, is it?
It's certainly not me. No. But maybe one day it will be. I mean, I really hope not.
That's what I feel about this. It's like, I don't know if
I'm just old.
That's exactly my problem. It's like, am I just old? Is this like, you know, is it
if we did an episode on drill?
If we were a music podcast and we did an episode on drill, this would probably have the same kind of vibe of like, I don't really get it.
Should we do a music podcast about drill?
We'd never come up with a tagline, would we? Can you imagine? people, you can do things now where you go online, you interact with people, you have these kinds of interactions, you can buy stuff. So you can buy like...
it's just called You Know the Drill, isn't it? There you go.
So you can buy ice cream and then somebody will actually deliver it to your door physically. Like, so presumably you're wearing your VR headset when you answer the door. So you can go into like these, you know, metaverse spaces.
Right.
And have these interactions. And like you say, brands are involved. So you can go, not only can you buy sneakers, you can go to Ben and Jerry's or equivalent and buy an ice cream that actually gets delivered to you physically.
In the real world.
In the real world.
Hmm.
And so you go and answer the door. I don't need to be in the metaverse
for that to happen, by the way.
Obviously. But this is, if you're living your life online and you're saying to somebody that you're talking to online, like, oh, let's have an ice cream. So you go to the virtual Ben and Jerry's, and both of you get ice cream delivered to your house.
Yeah.
So you can sit there having an ice cream together. You're having an ice cream together in the virtual world, but you're also actually physically tasting it as well. And although actually people are starting to develop headsets where you get taste and smell and stuff come through. You have to basically wear a full body mask like you're Darth Vader. But it's sort of, you know, so people are up for this, right? Some people are up for this, is what I'm saying. Maybe you and I aren't, but actually maybe, you know, we're in the minority and lots of people would really enjoy doing this. You can kind of, you know, you can go to concerts online. So Ariana Grande did a virtual reality sort of metaverse gig that people could go to.
Bought tickets to it.
Yes.
God, it's mad, isn't it? It is mad. I'm sure. Yeah.
I can't even countenance going to ABBA Voyage. I mean, what's that about?
Yeah.
People say it's really good. That's the other thing is, like, until you experience it, you cannot judge it, because people go to ABBA Voyage and they say it's amazing. And I'm like, it can't possibly be.
Yeah. And of course it isn't.
Have you been there?
No, I don't need. I do not need to go to ABBA Voyage.
But you said the same about Hamilton the musical.
No, I'd never express any opinion on Hamilton the musical.
On musicals generally?
Yes, musicals generally. When I went to Hamilton, I had no idea it was a musical. That was the key thing. 5 minutes in, we're out to lean over to Emma and go, is this a fucking musical? And she was like cackling away. And then I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
I'm not going to enjoy ABBA Voyage.
No,
I don't like any ABBA songs. Crap.
All right, but the point is that it sounds crap, but people who go have a really good time. And maybe the metaverse is the same thing.
Yeah, all right. So presumably, the more immersed I am in an environment, and this feels like quite a way off for me, but if I am immersed in the metaverse, then I will start... I'll start to sort of feel invested in it emotionally and start to experience like genuine emotions in the metaverse. And that presumably just builds and builds. And that can be both positive and negative.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it definitely will. If you go and inhabit there and do some stuff that you're enjoying doing, then of course you're going to feel positive about it. And you're going to say, oh, this is somewhere I like spending time in. Just like if you're playing video games, you know, you enjoy playing video games and you want to play more video games. And I think the more you enjoy yourself in the metaverse, probably the more time you'll want to spend there.
Yeah.
And then the less time you spend sort of interacting with anybody in the physical world, which is a win-win as far as I'm concerned. Us cynical old men aside, there are positives. And I asked Victoria to explain some of them to me because I couldn't see them.
We've already seen that educationally, you can make learning so much more immersive. So it's almost 10 years now, I think, that certain schools have been using Google Cardboard, you know, those kind of cardboard VR headsets, to do virtual tours of museums. So after an initial outlay, and let's be honest about this, you know, some metaverse technology is quite expensive. Buying some of the hardware is quite expensive. But you can go on school trips without actually going out. And that potentially makes it more accessible to low-income households who can't always afford the school trips, who can't always afford the clothes that their kids want to be seen in on school trips, for instance. Lots of exclusionary factors get opened up in the metaverse. Also thinking about people with mobility issues. In the metaverse, people who might not be entirely mobile offline can walk, can run, can fly, can be esports champions. It's hugely enabling in some really, really important respects, as much as there are clear risks to safety and to people's emotional needs to be considered there.
Yeah, I get all that, but you immediately think about the accessibility issues because this stuff is going to be expensive. And where it's getting developed is in richer countries. And so, yeah, if you're from a community that is comparatively wealthy and you've got, you know, good broadband connection, I guess the metaverse, yeah, is going to be available to you. But for a lot of people, it isn't.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, it seems sort of obvious when you dig into it, doesn't it? That, like, if you can't afford to go on school trips, like to the science museum, it's unlikely you can afford to go to the school that can afford to buy virtual reality headsets. So I can see how it, you know, you could say, oh, you know, it's a great leveler, but at the same time,
not necessarily.
It's not going to be.
Well, certainly not initially.
Unless the government's buying every school, it's you know, equipment, it's sort of not going to be initially a leveler in that respect. But it is a leveler in terms of, you know, if you have impaired movement, or if you have, you know, certain issues with the physical world, you are set free from those in the virtual world. And this is particularly true. It's been being used for people, for instance, who haven't yet sort of, you know, fixed on or really sort of don't want to be labeled by their gender identity in the in the physical world. And you can go online and be whoever you want to be. So you can kind of remake the world in the way that you want it to be and inhabit it as the person you want to be. So that sort of sets you free from many of the kind of constraints that actually people do feel in the real physical world, where they can't express who they really are for fear of you know, a backlash against them. So that's a positive.
Is there not, again, maybe I'm just being cynical and old, is there not a chance that, you know, you sort of create the identity that you want for yourself in a metaverse, great, and then you get just a backlash in the metaverse from people?
I mean, that is possible, isn't it? I mean, it depends who
you're... It's still people.
Yeah, it depends who you're meeting, I guess, in the metaverse.
Yeah. And do you think you can control that more than you can in real life? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I think.
I mean, I want to say.
Make an argument that no, even less.
Well, and when you think of the kinds of. When I think of the kinds of people that I think are going to be populating the metaverse with their avatars.
Pedos.
We'll get to that.
Of course we will. Of course we will.
I was going to say, you know, it might be, you know, as Victoria said, the sort of, you know, tech bro kinds of people who maybe aren't the most, you know, open-minded, forward-thinking people in those those terms. Anyway.
Yeah.
But you can create safe spaces effectively in which you can operate and exist and discuss stuff sort of in person, in quotes, with, you know, like-minded people. So there are opportunities to form communities that you know, if they're from people who are halfway around the world that you know online, you can have chats with them and you can Zoom with them and whatever else. But also you can, you know, with the metaverse, you can meet in real life and have an ice cream.
The sort of the ethical problems are so obvious immediately, though, because we talk about, you know, you're in a safe space, you've created a safe space where you can talk to people from across the world. How do you know who you're talking to? Like, it's a really obvious point, but you don't. How do you authenticate who these people that you think you're having a nice chat to about the stuff you want to talk about and it's all very nice, but then it turns out actually this person is, well, you.
All right, let's get to that. I just want to put one more positive in before we slide down the tunnel of your negatives.
Okay.
And you may or may not see this as positive, but people are talking about it creating a kind of immortality. Right, so you can create an avatar.
You are reaching for positives. You think immortality is one of them.
So there's this firm called Somnium Space, and it basically has a feature of Live Forever, in which you basically create a digitized version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that person, that avatar, can live online, can have your characteristics. Basically, you can imbue it with as much personality as you're able to, and your history, and it can talk about who you are, you know, and almost recite your life story once it's become you and got to know you and given the information.
Mm-hmm.
And then that lives on for generations. So, like, you know, so people might be able to, so like your grandchildren might be able to go online and learn and have a conversation with you. So when your child says, "Oh, I wish you'd met your granddad Rick. He was amazing, although he died of a broken heart."
Yeah.
and they'll say,
"Grandma Rima's still alive. She's absolutely thriving."
So they can, you know, you can do that. If you only have to think about things like Holocaust survivors, right? If you had avatars of people who lived these lives, and and you could go and have this kind of living history kind of interaction. So there are, you know, there are ways in which this is a much richer thing, richer way of transmitting information and personal contact and personal stories. And obviously, I'm one to create an avatar so that I can live on forever and tell people about everything that nobody wanted to listen to when I was alive.
Mm, yeah. This, of all the episodes we've ever done, we've talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
This is making me feel the most like a dinosaur. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do.
I'm so on board with sort of advances in everything. And I love thinking about it. And sort of peering into the future. This stuff just sort of makes me feel really anxious and uncomfortable, like I'm not ready. And
is it like your grand trying to send a text?
Yeah. I think it is.
Yeah.
We're going to have to take a break. just for me, really. When we get back, we'll get into how cyber crimes might become even more convincing in the metaverse. Perfect. We'll try and work out if anything good is coming out of it. And we'll answer today's question. Is the metaverse going to be shit? Brackets, of course it is.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
And we're back. Now, this is what I really want to talk about, the drawbacks to moving our lives online and just sort of living in the metaverse.
Right, so I asked Victoria about this.
I think it's fair to expect that all of the bad behaviour and all of the crime and all of the safety and security risks that we already see online will be present in the metaverse in some form or other, with the added aspect, the added complication that we will have that immersive experience. So scams could be much more convincing, because where at the moment a scam is delivered on your phone or on your screen, you can have a look at it, it's either a static image or it's a video or it's a tweet, and you can have a bit of a critical distance from it, physically a critical distance from it, where you take a step back and you think, that doesn't look quite right. And you might go off and make a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and say, I'll have a think about that, I'll come back to it, I won't click on it immediately. And a lot of the VR and AR, the virtual reality and augmented reality technologies at the moment, their development relies on content being delivered in your line of sight. So we'll either be wearing glasses or something will be projected on a wall in front of us. It will be about us feeling like we are in that online space. And someone who might want to con you into doing something, or someone who might want to persuade you of some fake news, might actually be a character, an avatar, who walks up to you and attempts to have a fully fledged conversation with you.
Oh, great. So just sort of AI-generated comment.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Yeah. I mean, it's not
absolutely wicked.
I mean, I'm just never going there now.
No.
Having heard that, it's like I'm never...
Also, you're quite gullible as well. You get wiped off so
yeah,
quickly
I would.
In there.
I'd be like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a look at my mortgage deeds. I don't see why you wouldn't.
Yeah. Blockchain, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's sort of the internet but worse,
yeah,
isn't it, basically?
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course you've got all this sort of, you know, eye tracking, so all the technologies are basically created by companies who want to gather data,
yeah,
and then sell
well,
you
what
stuff
all of the tech companies are doing, fundamentally.
So they'll be like doing your eye tracking and all the biometrics will be like, you know, part of the measurement package that you're buying into, effectively. And so they'll be selling you stuff. They'll be able to engage you.
They're selling you stuff in both the virtual world and the real world.
Yeah, because they'll take cryptocurrency, won't they? No problem at all.
Yeah, no. But what I mean is, are they going to be just selling virtual products and services?
No, I think real world stuff as well, if they can.
Well.
They'll sell whatever they can
Presumably,
get away with.
If you sort of peer right into the future and imagine that we are really spending a lot of time in the metaverse, living our lives in the metaverse, then the demand for real world services and goods would plummet.
It will plummet. I mean, you won't need your new sneakers, will you? Because you're never leaving the house.
No, that would be quite an issue for a lot of companies.
Yeah, but not the ones who are already getting on it.
Not the ones who are on it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but, you know, anyway, so obviously that's an issue. You might get conned a bit more. Another problem is that, you know, you've got sort of no leveling up, no evidence that we're really going to be leveling up in terms of everybody's getting some of this. So those companies are just, you know, looking for a monopoly in the metaverse. So you've got, you know, Facebook and Google and Microsoft and all the kind of usual people are buying up the technologies, you know, the virtual reality stuff.
There's absolutely no sense in which suddenly you're going to decentralize and, you know, equitable sort of power share.
I don't think so.
It's just
no.
the same
and that,
old...
that is a problem, you know, because we don't want, you know, to be sort of having this sort of dependence on the metaverse and then find we're ultimately absolutely now where we might have looked at Facebook occasionally, we're now living in Facebook's universe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a horrible thought.
Mm.
So, you know, we definitely kind of
and
want
who...
to think about this.
Yeah, so would Facebook... I don't even understand the question I'm asking, I don't think. Would Facebook own the metaverse?
So there's lots of... No. I mean, the answer is no, because the metaverse is kind of lots of different virtual reality spaces. So you've got things like Second Life already, and you've got Roblox, and you've got, you know, the Facebook's metaverse.
But would there be...
And there might be connections between them, there might not be. So there might be entirely separate things, and we don't know how that's going to evolve. And it might be that, you know, you can only use like one type of VR headset in one of those things and it doesn't work with another. Yeah. So we don't know anything about that yet, basically how it's going to work.
So sort of weirdly ghettoized as well.
Yeah. And like, you know,
unless like Facebook's one.
Second Life is already kind of like a ghost town, I think now.
Yeah. But you if you...
People used to run physics conferences in Second Life.
Did they?
Yeah, to stop people needing to fly around the world to be together. Yeah. So it's a great idea.
Yeah.
But it just sort of, you know, fizzles out. And now I quite like the idea of going to a metaverse that's a ghost town. Just like hanging out, you know, down by the river or something and just like sit there.
Just go and boot in some windows and stuff because no one's going to tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a bit of fun.
The inner vandal comes out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we're talking. So if this does happen... And we end up putting our lives like online, like way more than they already are, like really just living online effectively. What good could come out of it?
All right. So there are good potential applications for this, especially in things like healthcare. So this was something that Victoria told us about.
In terms of healthcare benefits and benefits to our well-being, we're already seeing virtual reality, VR, being used in therapeutic situations. So for people who have phobias, for people who have social anxiety, but really importantly, for people who are demonstrating the first signs of dementia, so being able to reconnect them with their memories or to put them in a place they feel comfortable in. So for people who were really quite, you know, feeling quite anxious, to put them somewhere they feel more comfortable, to me is a massive benefit. If at any point in my life I start to experience signs of dementia, I really want to be somewhere that I feel nice and cozy, that isn't scary. And if I can take myself or someone can take me somewhere else that I feel more comfortable, gosh, that sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is something we talked about in our What's the Worst Pain in the World episode, isn't it? Where VR treatments could be used to provide relief for chronic pain, essentially just by putting you in an environment where it's easier to be distracted from.
Yeah, yeah, which is an amazing thing
that actually does
have
cool.
an effect. So that is good. And I can see that the dementia thing, like if you're sitting in a care home and actually you can have a really positive experience of, you know, of the day by being in a VR environment, I think that's a really good thing. It's a really positive thing. Mm. I think with some of the other stuff, so some of the benefits that are talked about, like, you know, people who have a physical disability, you know, they're kind of set free in many ways. And you can say that's a really good thing. But at the same time, I sort of feel like surely we could put effort into making the physical world better for those people as well, you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it feels like, you know, you're excusing this whole sort of indulgence of the metaverse by saying, oh, it's going to be brilliant for the people who are sort of socially excluded at the moment. And it's like, well, should we not...
Can we work on the social exclusion?
Can we not like fix that bit, you know? Mm. So because people talk about, you know, it being great for people with autism, you know, they can sort of explore spaces in a safer way that doesn't, you know, bring the same anxiety on. Mm. And it's like, well, you could actually make the world better for autistic people as well.
Yeah,
you know, in the real world. So I'm sort of slightly bothered by those kinds of justifications. The other thing that is talked about as well is increase in empathy. So you go and you have the experience of what's being, what it's like to be a refugee.
Yeah.
You know, imagine being in, like, say, one of those small boats, you know, on the channel. Like, what's it like to be in there? And then they're saying, you know, if you have that experience, it changes your view of that whole sort of political situation.
Yeah, I mean, they've done stuff with people who hold racist views, haven't they?
Yes.
Where they put you in the shoes of a black person getting abused, for example. And that literally changes people's attitudes. So I can absolutely see that as being a really positive.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's sort of not really the metaverse, I'd argue. This is just a specific, like, immersive. Yes, like empathy.
I guess
generator.
It's not really the metaverse in that it's not part of the whole.
It's just a virtual reality
life.
Thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But you know, it's a good example. Mm. But the problem again is, how do you get people who are racist to be willing to have that experience?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
I mean,
you know, how do you get Suella Braverman to put on the VR set and say, "This is what it's like in a small boat in the channel"?
Well, obviously, I couldn't possibly comment on that.
So so what I'm saying is, you know, it's a good justification, I can understand, but actually the details of it are difficult to sort of, you know, really believe that it's going to make that much difference. But in dementia, I kind of feel like if I'm ever in a home, you know, with, you know, decreasing cognitive abilities, loss of memory and everything else, and just the days are just sort of drifting past me, I quite like the idea of being engaged in the metaverse. That will be the point.
Yeah,
ironically, when I'm really old, that'll be the point I get on board.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, one of the problems with this is by the time I'm old, the whole fad might have died away. In the, you know, like I told you, Second Life is kind of like a bit of a ghost town now. Mm. And what we're seeing is a lot of the kind of hype from just a couple of years ago has really died down now. So
I was going to say, I'd like purely anecdotally, I feel like people were really pumped about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It just sort of feels like it's dissipated slightly. Yeah. The energy.
Exactly. So I saw this. There was an article in the FT where they said if you type metaverse into Google Trends, the traffic has collapsed like 80% over the past year. Mm. It's like people just aren't that interested anymore. And lots of the sort of divisions of these companies that makes the virtual reality headsets and some of the hardware stuff are basically being folded because there's just not enough demand for them.
Well, do you know anyone who's got one?
No.
I don't think I do.
No, I don't. And Apple was making these sort of sophisticated glasses for AR and VR, and it's just
look at the massive success of Google Glass and thought we'd like another slice of that, please.
And they're they're just basically put it on the back burner. It's like let's not prioritize that. So you know, Microsoft has been sacking lots of people. There was army testers, US military tested the goggles that Microsoft had made, which are $6,000 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they're basically dangerous and poorly designed.
Great.
And
so effectively, no one really wants this.
So nobody really wants this. By the time I'm old, by the time I'm old, I'm just thinking it won't even be there. You'll have to wait for the second wave of the metaverse.
Is there any way that you can just sort of mothball your avatar somewhere? And then when it does eventually kick off,
comes back
you
to
fire
life.
Up. Yeah,
yeah. A bit like cryonics for my avatar.
Yeah. Who's this guy? Ah.
Yeah, it's that guy from the 21st century. Yeah.
I don't really think we need to ask our expert if the metaverse is going to be shit or not, because I already know the answer. but I imagine you did ask her.
I did ask her.
I often think to myself, is it time to move the entirety of our lives online, or is it going to be a bit shit and a bit of a disappointment? Look, if you believe all of the hype around the metaverse, it's going to be all singing, all dancing, we'll never want to leave. At the same time, what we've seen so far of, you know, what Mark Zuckerberg has been announcing for Meta's version of the metaverse is that we're all going to look a bit cartoonish and we won't have any legs. So we've got to try and temper that hype and that disappointment. It's going to be somewhere in between the two, I'm afraid. And it's going to take time. But in reality, a lot of our lives are already online. Everything I do has a digital connected component. The metaverse, far from being this far off time horizon of 2030, 2035, 2040, is actually just a continuation of all of those technologies that we already use. So Is it time for us to move all of our lives online? We already have.
I think the word she used was a bit shit.
Yeah. Have we just wasted 40 minutes of everyone's time here? Just like stating at the top, yeah, it's going to be shit. And then ending by saying, yes, exactly as we thought.
It's going to be shit for interesting reasons.
I guess, yeah. I guess. I think my favourite reason is that fundamentally people are losing interest.
Nobody wants it.
Yeah. They're like, no, you're good, actually. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, mate. Zuckerberg is to the metaverse, Elon Musk to self-driving cars, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I mean, has the vision, wants to get there, doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah. Probably less of a prick, though, isn't he, I think? Or maybe not, actually.
I don't know about that. I think that's a tough call.
Not a bad episode. Who's a bigger prick? Mark Zuckerberg, right. Elon Musk.
Make a note of that.
Yeah. Eureka is a Stack production presented by Dr. Michael Brooks and Rick Edwards. The production team is Temi Adebayo, Katie Baxter, Luke Moore and Charlie Morgan. Sound design by Katie Baxter. Special thanks to today's expert, Professor Victoria Baines. Please subscribe and rate wherever you listen to your podcast. It does make a massive difference. We also really love hearing from you guys. So if you have any burning questions you want us to answer, drop us an email at eureka@stack.london. Or you can find us, as always, on Twitter at EurekaPod.
Eureka is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.